an appeal for the Australian field. Dear brethren and sisters in America, I have now been in this missionary field nearly 2 years. For 11 months of this time, because of sickness, I was unable to labor in public. At times, with much inconvenience and suffering, I spoke in the church in Melbourne. Although I could not labor in a public manner during these months of suffering, I was enabled to write 2,400 pages of letter paper on themes that were essential to the progress of the work. Christ was preciously near to me during the time of my affliction, and the truth was presented to me in clear light, and the promises were viewed by me in their preciousness and fullness. I felt constrained by the Spirit of God to write even during my affliction and suffering. But I am now rejoiced to say that the Lord has been mercifully working for my restoration. And although not entirely relieved, I am in a much better condition of health, and have been strengthened to stand before the people and bear to them my message. And in this work, I have been marvelously sustained. We have carried a heavy burden for these Australian fields, and although our allotted time to stay here has almost expired, we see much unfinished work before us. We have sent in our appeal for men and means to carry on the work in this far-off missionary territory, and we are thankful to our Heavenly Father for that which has been done in response. We are glad that Brother and Sister Wilson have been added to the number of missionary laborers by the General Conference, but we would be more rejoiced if our responsible men would not see so many ways to invest means in ways that is within the immediate vision, and would extend their view and see the necessity of providing facilities to start the work in new fields. There are many, many important cities that have not been entered. Many, many places where the banner of truth has not been unfurled. We still plead for laborers for these colonies. We still plead for financial help to place the standard of truth in these new fields. Some of our responsible men seem to take in only the needs of the field on which their vision rests, and addition upon addition is made to well-established institutions in which a large amount of means has already been invested, and where already a great amount of strength is centered. Yet to these very institutions, large donations are appropriated to build them up still further, while other fields, such as this one, where there are no strength and facilities, are left in deplorable weakness, devoid of those things necessary to break up the soil for the introduction of the seeds of truth. Brethren in America, I am praying to the Lord day and night that He will extend your vision, in order that you may see things that are afar off. How can the Lord approve of your absorbing so much means in increasing facilities, whereby to advance the work in America, which foreign fields are destitute of means whereby to begin the work in parts where no beginning has been made? Knowing as we do how well equipped are our publishing institutions for publishing, for education, and for treating the sick, and what a firm basis the truth has in that field, we wonder that you should think it proper to expend more means there, when these foreign fields are slacking in that with which you are so well furnished. Here are places all about us that have never been entered, and cannot be worked unless we shall have houses of worship, even though of the humblest character. We cannot call out the people to hear the truth in tents, as in America. For in many places, as in Wellington, New Zealand, the wind would strip them to ribbons. We have not a place in these large cities where we can call out the people to hear the word of God. We cannot unfurl the banner of truth, for we have no standing place. I am looking to the Lord for light, and I shall make appeals again and again, like the importunate widow, until you shall be compelled to hear and attend to the call. I address the churches and plead with them to do the very work that God would have them. I have been thinking very seriously of going to America in person, to make appeals from church to church, for I am deeply moved over the destitute condition of these Australian fields. In this country, the denominational ministers tell the most unblushing falsehoods to their congregations in reference to our work and our people. Whatever false report has been started is circulated by those who oppose the truth and is repeated from church to church and from community to community. The circulators of these falsehoods take no pains to find out whether or not they are true. For many of those who repeat the reports, though not the framers of them, still love the false reports and love to give them wide circulation. They do not, like honest, just men, come to those who are accused and seek to find what is the truth concerning what they have heard concerning their faith. But without inquiry, they spread false statements in order to prejudice the people against those who present the truth. For instance, an effort was made to obtain the use of a hall at a village 4 miles from Hastings, where some of our workers proposed to present the gospel to the people. They did not succeed in obtaining a hall because a schoolteacher there opposed the truth and declared to the people that Seventh-day Adventists did not believe in the divinity of Christ. This man may not have known what our faith is on this point, but he was not left in ignorance. He was informed that there is not a people on earth who hold more firmly to Christ's pre-existence than do Seventh-day Adventists. But the answer was given that they did not want that the doctrines of Seventh-day Adventists should be promulgated in that community. So the door was closed. The prejudice that exists in the smaller cities and towns of Australia and New Zealand is very bitter, and we have to put forth the same effort here to overcome prejudice as in America, where our people are not known. The message and the messengers are not so well known in these fields as in America, so the prejudice is of longer duration. And until the people who are teaching the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus are better known by personal acquaintance, these fields will be hard to work. It is difficult to break down these barriers and obtain an opportunity to introduce the leaven of truth and proclaim the last message of mercy and warning to the people. As in Christ's day, the ministers will not investigate the scriptures and candidly compare the doctrines presented with their Bibles, but rather seize upon some lying report, some scandal from far off or from near at hand, and present a false statement to their congregations as an evidence that they should close their ears to the strange doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventists. Through these lying reports, the people whose minds have been stirred up by the truth are quieted down. And as they have not the moral courage to investigate the scriptures for themselves, or to ferret out the falsehood, they turn from the man who have the message of God. We are obliged to go over the very same ground in these fields that we had to go over in the beginning of the work in America. The history of the work, as recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, when they journeyed from place to place and had to meet the opposition of opposers of the truth, is reenacted in the work of the message for this time. Prejudice in these fields is so strong that we do not see how the message of truth is to go to the cities and towns in these colonies unless we shall be furnished with facilities with which to work. In the history of the first gospel workers, we read that after the day of Pentecost, they set forth in earnest to fulfill the commission given them by Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I was rejoiced to hear of the outpouring of the Spirit of God in Michigan, and especially at Battle Creek. I rejoiced with heart and soul and voice, for I knew that something would be done to stir the souls of those who have had the shining of continual rays of light upon them, and who have not hitherto made a response in proportion to the light they have had. The Holy Spirit works in the heart of its receiver, and makes its possessor an agent for its designs. Those who are imbued with the Holy Spirit become channels of light to the world, and those who have had the Spirit of God will make a decided response to the appeals which the Lord is sending.
I ask my brethren and sisters in America, are you, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, working the works of God? Are you becoming witnesses, as did the early disciples, to the power of Him who sanctifies you and enables you to consecrate yourselves to the very work that God would have you do? Have families aroused from their idle inactivity, and have they removed from Battle Creek into surrounding towns and villages to advocate and live out before the people the message of the truth? The admonition to each one is, work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Who has opened his ears to the Macedonian cry that is coming from every direction, come over and help us? Who have had their hearts stirred by the needs of the people and have decided to leave country and kindred and come to this far-off field in response to the urgent appeals that have been sent to you? Who have been stirred to give their substance to the cause, to devote their means to the advancement of the present truth in this field? We have been sent here by the General Conference, and we are here on the ground. But we have not been provided with facilities to do the work, although urgent calls have been made for facilities, and the needs of the field have been repeatedly presented before our brethren. The trouble is that our brethren do not comprehend the appeal that has been made. But something must be done, they think, to give additional strength to and to multiply facilities in America, where there is a great abundance of facilities, while the fields that have no strength, which need money and workers, are left almost entirely in their destitution, and the call for means and men is scarcely heeded. Workers now, and money now, would be of more value than double the financial assistance in 2 years from this time. I call upon those whom God has made stewards of his means to send us financial help. And let those who are willing to go out as did Abraham, leaving country and kindred, come as missionaries to this field, not looking to the conferences to pay your expenses or to support you, but looking to God for grace to diffuse the light he has given you. Wake up, brethren and sisters. Wake up. Sleep no longer. Why stand ye here all the day idle? Jesus calls you, saying, go, work today in my vineyard. Jesus calls you, saying, go, work today in my vineyard. Whoever has received the Holy Spirit will make it manifest, for all his powers will be employed in the most active service. All who actually receive Christ by faith work. They feel the burden of souls. God now calls upon everyone who has a knowledge of the truth, who is a depositary of sacred truth, to rise and impart the light of heaven to others. Those who have been illuminated by the Holy Spirit will show its office work upon life and character. They will be mediums through which the Holy Spirit will communicate light and knowledge to others. The wonderful truth revealed to us in these last days is to be revealed to others. The end of all things is at hand. The Lord has been speaking to you in America, and may the Lord forbid that at the time of great illumination, darkness should come upon you, because you fail to walk in the light that has been given. Darkness responding to your light will surely come upon you if you do not now awake from your slumbers and shake off your useless musings and selfish indulgences, and trade diligently with your Lord's goods. Move out from your pleasant homes. Develop the talents God has given you, and tell to others what the Holy Spirit has communicated to you. God requires you to work in proportion to the light he has given you. Angels of God are waiting, desiring with intense desire that those who claim to believe the truth shall become agents through which, by cooperation with them, they shall be able to communicate light to the world. All heaven is interested in the work that is going on in the world, and the angels desire that the men shall become channels by which divine grace may flow to those who are famishing for the waters of life. In new and fresh aspects, the truth is to be presented by the living agencies to those who are in the darkness of error who are dead in trespasses and sins. God created all things by Christ Jesus, that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
Wake up, brethren and sisters, before you sleep the sleep of death. God has shown you that He is willing to do great things for you. The salvation of the human soul is the one object of the most intense interest to the heavenly host. The value of the soul is indefinitely above silver and gold. And why is it that you, who have a knowledge of it, do not impart it to others? It is the highest duty of every Christian to let the light God has given shine forth in steady rays. Have you been converted from error to truth? Have you, through faith in Jesus Christ, been made partakers of His love? Then go to work to save souls that are ready to perish. Personal effort must be put forth, if men who are lost are to be convinced that they are in need of a Savior. The work of saving souls is not confined to the work of the delegated ministers. To every man, God has given His work. Every soul that has been enlightened has a work to do, a mission to perform. Everyone is to trade diligently with the talents entrusted to his care. Converted himself, the Christian is to present to others the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and win souls to Jesus. The Lord has blessed many of you of late. What reason did you assign for this enlightenment? Did you think that God had blessed you that you might simply sit down and be happy, while others were left to perish for the want of the knowledge and experience that you have obtained through the mercy and forbearance of God? Were you willing and content that you had received so rich a blessing? The Holy Spirit was imparted to you in order that you might become agents by which God could communicate that blessing to others. Every true believer is a light who will shine amid the moral darkness of the world. Neither do men light a candle and put it on a candlestick, that it may give light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him that hath called you out of darkness into His marvellous light. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. The religion that does not reveal itself in good works, in true righteousness and goodness, in saving the souls of poor sinners, is of no value in the estimation of God, and it will not save the souls of those who possess it. Soldiers of Christ are now wanted to push the battle to the front. Marshal under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel. Wear his armor and press the battle to the gates. The gospel of the kingdom of Christ must go into new countries and enter new provinces. We are laborers with God. Brethren and sisters, why hover about the churches? Study the parable of the lost sheep, and go forth as true shepherds, seeking the lost one who is in the wilderness of sin. Rescue the perishing. Christians will have the mind of Christ and be co-workers with Him. To everyone, work has been allotted, and no one can be a substitute for another. Each one has a mission of wonderful importance, which he cannot neglect or ignore, as the fulfillment of it involves the weal of some soul, and the neglect of it, the woe of some soul for whom Christ died. God has appointed His children to give light to others, and if they fail to do it, and souls are left in the darkness of error because of their failure to do that which they might have done, had they been vitalized by the Holy Spirit, they will be accountable to God. We have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, in order that we may show forth the praises of Christ.
In the Australasian field, we not only need ministers, but faithful workers who will do their God-given work in the way He has appointed it should be done. Who of those who have been so greatly blessed in the outpouring of the Spirit of God have fallen again into slumber? Arouse before it is eternally too late. By your slothfulness, you are not only imperiling your own souls, but you are endangering the cause of God, since He has given to every man his work. The converting power of God must daily come upon all the churches, that they may stand in the faith of Christ, rooted and grounded in the faith, holding forth the word of life. Do not wait until someone shall lift you up and take all the burden. Let every soul in the church consecrate himself to God and lay all that he has on the altar, going forth by faith into the highways and byways of the world, and in a humble, Christ-like way do what he can, as he has opportunity to sow the seeds of truth. Sow beside all waters, presenting the truth as it is in Jesus. By a godly example, by earnest expostulations and entreaties, compel the lost to come in to be prepared for the marriage supper of the Lamb. To neglect the work of saving souls is a great sin, for it is neglecting to save souls for whom Christ died. It is evident that the love of Christ does not warm our own hearts if we have nothing to say to others of its power, if we do nothing to kindle in the hearts of others the love of God. If Christ abides in the soul, it will not be possible to be indolent and indifferent. The salvation of sinners demands that every Christian shall act his part and put forth a certain measure of positive power. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. The word must be spoken in season and out of season to those who are beguiled by Satan and led to do evil things. Satan is working through his agents, and shall the soldiers of Christ exert no influence to save souls that are walking in the broad road to death? The voice of invitation and entreaty is to sound, crying, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Let no one wait for the sinner to come up to him, asking for counsel and advice. Go forth into the wilderness to seek and to save that which is lost. The most special self-denial is to be practiced. The most earnest effort is to be made to save those who are ready to perish. Imbued with the Spirit of Christ, the true workers will not fail nor be discouraged. Wake up, brethren and sisters in our churches, and watch unto prayer. Educate the youth in such a way that they shall understand that it is not possible that they can live a Christian life, and to increase in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and yet not be actively engaged in trading upon the talents that God has given, diffusing to others the knowledge of the truth. Individually, we are to put to use our knowledge of the truth in instructing the ignorant, in enlightening those who are in darkness. We are to seek wisdom of God in all things, and then improve every opportunity that is possible, to make the path of duty plain to others. When each one does the duty that lies nearest him, how sinful will appear the thought of devoting God-given powers to the pursuit of amusements. Oh, what sin and guilt we are living in when not using every jot of influence we possess to advance the kingdom of Christ in this world. Souls are perishing, and few have any concern about it. But those who are indolent in serving the Master, though they may be even employed in the work, will, through neglect of prayer and watching, will neglect all other duties, and will lose at last all interest in religious things, and be themselves ready to die, except they repent and return unto the Lord.
Why not meet the expectations of the heavenly intelligences and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? For it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.